Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
I am so taken back, first of all, that I am even allowed to be in the house. I'm not joking when I say that. Because there's not one person in here. One of the songs you referenced, somehow Christ deals with, he wrestles with the heart of the sinner. Remember that in the one song that we sang? He wrestles with the heart of the sinner. And I look at that phrase and I think, yeah, he does me. You're right. You hearing that? It's not accusation of other people. You see, I don't have to look past me. And I'm not a martyr. I'm really, I don't like that even. I'm not that good to even be a martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ. You get that? None of us in this room are good enough to even be called the martyr for Jesus Christ, other than he calls us into this marvelous light and he creates in us a pure heart. By the way, there was also a song that said, we lift up holy hands. But do you know how I can lift up holy hands? I'm not even including you. I mean, this, if you can say this about you, I hope you can. But the reason I can lift up holy hands is because they were filthy before God got a hold of my life. And even every day, I still have to come back to, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't do that well, or something I said to someone, Lord, I didn't say that well. God, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. So the reason I can lift holy hands is because it's his holiness, not mine. And the reason I am righteous is because he is righteous. I am not. There is not one, the Bible says, that's righteous other than he. And so when we come into a place like this and we experience kind of the experience that you've just experienced, I want you to know something. He's real. And God is in the house, and he said he would go wherever we are. So I want to just share this with you. For those of you who might be first-time attenders, you've never seen anything quite like that, like you saw today. I saw something. If you even think we're weird for, you know, or strange or crazy, we are. We're crazy for Jesus. Okay, so I'm going to be honest with you. And this whole thing, I have seen so many movies where they show the lunatics in the auditorium going, amen, and the guy shouting weird things. Seriously, I've seen, what's the name of that one movie? What is the name? Four Christmases? Yeah. If you ever get a chance, go watch that. That's an outsider's view. Can I tell you, I was in a 60,000 seat auditorium one time where people are really, and I'm thinking, this is crazy. What are people going to think of this? I'm serious. And they're shouting, and I mean, they are going, 65,000 people actually were going, and I was one of them. And they're ripping their shirts off. We got guys with ungodly, you know. Guys, we don't have the best bodies. I'm sorry. Does everybody understand we got the best end of the deal, guys? You girls, God bless you. You were refined. I'm just telling you. That's the truth. But so they're tossing their shirts around, and they're going nuts. I'd normally do it with my right hand, but it doesn't speak these days, so... So, you know, they're going nuts. They're throwing stuff. And they're screaming. And I mean, they're spitting. They're shouting. They're screaming. And they're spitting. And they're shouting. And every once in a while, somebody tosses a liquid across, you know, a group of people. It's crazy. And that was just because Kurt Warner came on the field. You get it? You get the picture? It's amazing how people want to characterize church people as crazy. We are, for Jesus. But 65,000 people, 64,999 people joined this crazy person to do all of that. I didn't throw any beer, by the way. I like getting out of an arena alive. You get that. And by the way, they were kissing other people's wives. When the touchdown would happen, they would grab a woman. They don't even know what woman they was kissing. They're just and hugging. And I'm like, and they think we're weird in church. I'm just saying, they just got a little pigskin across the goal line. Now here's the reason we shout. Because I was lost, and now I'm found. Bottom line, I have an eternity. That's the reason we shout here, right? Vera, if you don't believe in healing, Vera, God touched Vera, removes cancer. This is legitimately doctor verified, and I mean, if let me tell you, when she started giving that prophetic word in tongues, that's beautiful. I'm sitting there going, that's a Jesus girl. Because, you see, she faced what many of us would so dread, including her, facing. And that hubby of hers, that jewel that sits to her left over there, this guy faced it with her. They faced the giant. And when they shout, I think they got a legitimate reason. It's bigger than the pigskin crossing the goal line. So when somebody shouts in this room, usually you know what it represents? I once was that, and today I'm his. It's called victory. Yeah, who said that? Who said that? Victory. It's exactly what it is. It, by the way, isn't that the goal of that football game? Is to have a higher score than the opponent? That was always my understanding of the rule. I want whoever has, doesn't matter what happens in the game. What matters is who has the W. And one day, you'll have the W when you hear, well done. Thou good and faithful servant, enter on into my kingdom to its fullest. It's all yours. So can I just ask if you're a first-time attender, by any chance, forgive the, what might not be something that you know, but I'm going to tell you something. I know these people, and they are genuinely Jesus people. And we are shouters. We do. We shout for Jesus. This I can't tell you the whole, you know, I can't tell you how many times we walked around this property before we built the building, and we were shouting kind of like the Walls of Jericho thing. I was praying the building would go up. On the seventh time around, I'm like, God, could you save us $2.4 million and just, you know, we shout loud enough. On the seventh time around, the building goes up. Hey, listen, I love what God does. I love what God does. I love the genuine, authentic move of the power of God. And he has verified himself today. He really has. He's verified himself. I can tell you, most of those people, the 65,000 that I was down at the dome with, I can tell you seriously, they went home with headaches. And but you can ask my daughters, Kristen sitting over there, we'd bring our earplugs. We go, what did you say something? Say it in my ear. I can't hear it. But see, they'd go home with headaches. I mean, they felt good. Y'all understand. They was feeling good. For a while. Yeah. Till the next morning. Yeah. But we shout because we have a risen Savior. And as the old song says, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Rejoice, rejoice. That's our version of shout. By the way, if you're a first-time attender, see the picture of that dog right there? If you'll just look for that in your bulletin, fill that out real quick. We're going to take an offering in just a few minutes. Are you ready to get into the Word? It's not going to, listen, this is going to be, do you remember what the message was last year, or last week? Do you remember? I don't even remember what the message was last year. Remember what it was last week? Lord, why do I complain so much? Have you complained less this week? I found myself out in the foyer, and somebody walked by me and said, how's that arm? I said, well, the arm's fine. The shoulder, now, it's just. I'm going to stop complaining about my shoulder. My shoulder's fine. Don't grab it, though. I shared that last week. Can't tell you how many people walked up and go, Pastor Barry, and they dig those nails right down into that shoulder, and I see Jesus every time. By the way, the reason I got Pam sitting here today isn't just because Pastor Mike's away. It's because Pastor Pam reminds me that she's got an announcement at the end of this. So she's my go-to person here today for examples. But turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. And I'm just going to talk to you real quick. This is the continuing of the series, Lord, Why Do I? And it's just simply this. Lord, why do I question your authority so much? Don't you love when the state patrolman pulls you over? Don't you love when that state patrolman does his... Is there any state patrolman in here? Anybody married to a state patrolman? Anybody got a cousin? I got two. State patrolman, Missouri state patrolman. One is with the Lord. He was killed a few years ago. But Marty is still living and well, you know. And I asked him one time, hey, dude, tell me how much you're going to give me over... Don't you want to ask state patrolman this? On speeding, how many miles an hour over... You know what I was asking him? Lord, how much sin will you allow in my life before you write the citation? You know what? That's what I was asking him. Because you know what this... Have you ever known in archery the definition of missing the bullseye? It's called a sin. Did you know that? So it just means missing the mark. Remember Paul said that he is always aiming for the mark of his high calling. So that's that whole picture of missing the mark. Here's what I asked the state patrolman. How many miles... over will you, this is what I asked my cousin Marty, will you let me have average state patrolman before I get pulled over and see those little red lights in my rearview mirror? He said, usually, I won't tell you. So anyway, because that was a confidential conversation, but he told me what it was. And you know what? I've done better since. Because I know my boundary. But it was somebody of authority that gave me the grace... boundary. Did you understand that? Did you hear what he said, we'll usually give grace for this amount. Now, what does Rick do? No, I'm not going to ask that. Is Rick here? No, good. Good. Because I don't want to talk about all my tickets today in front of Rick. Don't you love authority? Doesn't it always seem like the authority is the one that says, you can't do that. You know what? We've actually made this set of books, these set of love letters right here, we have made this to be a big old rule book instead of a bunch of love letters with guidelines in it. Gina, I've told you the story. Gina used to write me, listen to this. Gina used to write me love letters from Mizzou, and I'd write her love letters from when I was in the hairstyling college, because I did that for, get over it, the hair is not because I'm a pastor, the hair is because I did hair for 20 years, okay? So, by the way, Gina did it today. And aren't I blessed? Aren't I blessed? So anyway, we'd write each other love letters. You know what Gina would write? I love you so much. I've still got all those letters. She better have all my letters still. And she wrote, she'd write, now make sure you live like I'm there with you. I remember that one time I opened that up. Make sure you live like I'm there with you. You see, did you hear the love in that accountability? I have expectations of you. Don't disappoint me. That's not what she said, but that's what I came across as. I have expectations. This is so full of, I love you. Live like I am with you. This is full of those. But man has a tendency to question the authority of him. Now, wouldn't that be a jewel for me to write the letter back to Gina? Who do you think you are? Do you have the right to ask me that? Can I take you to a chapter where that actually was said? Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent, this is during all of the creation story, and honestly, I give a lot of room for how you believe the creation began. I happen to believe what the Bible says, but I give a lot of room for interpretation of what timing that is for you, for your sake. Because let me tell you something, you believing the same as me will not get you to heaven. Jesus gets you to heaven. Okay, so just so you know, so you and I agreeing on the creation story doesn't get you into heaven and doesn't get me into heaven. It's trusting in him as my Savior and as my Lord. My Lord. He's not just my Savior, he's my Lord. That means what? He's in charge. By the way, did you ever tell a state patrolman, you can't speak to me that way? I had a family member one time that told a state patrolman, you can't speak to me that way. What he told him. And the next morning after he got the handcuffs off of him out of jail, He found out he could because he has authority to do so. See, every once in a while, when we question God's authority, he reminds us, oh, that last breath you just had, I gave it to you. I mean, get that. So here's where God's authority was challenged. Here, God had created the man and the woman. I don't care how long you think it was. It really doesn't matter to me. He created the man and the woman. Do you all believe God created us? Yes. Okay, here we go. Now, the serpent was more than crafty. That's all I need right there. I don't like serpents, period. But anyway, that's just a personal thing. Was more than crafty, more than any other of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees of the garden, but God did say we must not rather eat from the... let me back up. We may eat fruit from the trees. That arm's not far enough out there. We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. This is where, now listen to the enemy's voice. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. You will not surely die. He says, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. What he said is, he's deceiving you. You can't trust his motive. You can't trust his word. That's what he's saying to the woman. You can't really trust God. Now, can I ask you something? Do you trust authority that's crooked? Can I quote a great famous American, Richard Nixon? I am not a crook. That was our president in 1970, about 1974, early 74. And I don't want the people to believe that their president is a crook. Do you know when no one ever mentioned the word crook, by the way, before Richard Nixon actually called himself that? Do you know what happened after the authority of the presidency was then shambled? Our nation has been on a trajectory, an amazing trajectory against authority. The Vietnam War, the protesters of the Vietnam War, and by the way, I'm not saying that they were wrong, that the motive of the war was correct. I don't know. I wasn't in the leadership, but I can say men and women fought valiantly. That I know. That I do know, with honor and integrity. Tragically. But since that era, the whole authority thing has been questioned. But can I tell you, it goes back so much further than the Vietnam War in the United States. It started in the garden, back in the creation story, when the enemy said, you can't trust God's authority. Who's he to tell you what to do? And by the way, he's lying to you. You're not going to die. What you're going to find is, man, you're going to be like God. And by the way, since the fall of man, I believe in the biblical fall of man. Since the fall of man, man has been his own small g god since that day. That, do you know, that is our greatest enemy. Our enemy is not the serpent or Satan who inhabited the serpent. That's not our greatest enemy. Today, my greatest enemy is me. Because you see, I still sing Elvis's song. What's the other guy? Frank Sinatra. Thank you. Pam's heard me say it enough times. She knows. Frank Sinatra sung My Way. I'm at a funeral not all that long ago, just a couple years ago. And in this funeral, I'm thinking, you know, I used to love the song My Way till I heard. And I actually love, I'm sorry, I still love hearing Frank sing it. I love hearing Elvis sing. I'm sorry. I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill until I found out what the thrill was. I didn't know. I'm just singing along with it. You know, we all used to sing those songs. Oh, my Lord, that's what that means. Okay. But I still sing it. It's just because I love the guy that sang it. You know, I love the history of the music. But anyway, I'm still singing the song My Way. And I was at this funeral in my mind, and I'm at this funeral, and I'm thinking, God bless. The lady that died wanted the song My Way. And I was actually saddened. And now, hey, I understand. She loved Elvis. I was at her bedside for many, actually Sunday mornings before service started. I would go over to this, bless her heart, this 80-some-odd-year-old lady, and I would be praying with her and loving on her. And, you know, she and her family were all there. And for several weeks before church, I would go there. And I knew Elvis. Man, she had Elvis all over the place. And so I got why they were singing My Way, but I thought, what a sad epitaph. He did it his way. Because I'm going to tell you something. Bottom line, and I'm just going to wrap this up, but bottom line is this. There's two ways of living life, according to the Bible. And I actually am going to stake the chance that this is correct. All of my life rests on this principle, that what God says in His Word is true. Now, you may differ with timing, you may have issues with some of the accounts, and you may be uncomfortable with how this guy said this, but can I come back to one basic thing? Jesus said, no man comes before the Father except by me. That's what He said. It's got to come by me. You can get a lot of other doctrines wrong, and men are in love with doctrine. We know men that are and women that are in love with doctrine. Close friends of mine are in love with doctrine. More sometimes, I think, than Jesus himself. Because they're kind of mean about it. I say it many times, some of the meanest people I've ever met were in church. By the way, hypocrites, the church is full of us. But this is where we belong. Because you see, I was lost, and now I'm found. And by the way, He finds me about every day, because I need Him to. I need Him to. I am desperate for the presence of God. I really am. But I am, and by the way, I don't like not being in charge of me. So, there. Am I the only one that's going to say that? I don't like not being in charge of me. When that guy pulls me over with those cherries on the top of his car, I can give you all the reason in the world. I don't like it. I don't like it. I was at I was in Florida one time, and I was returning a rental car in Fort Lauderdale there at the airport. I was on airport property. Gina calls me. We got back. Gina calls me a couple weeks later. She says, "Come in. I want you to see a video." I said, "What's the video?" She said, "Yeah, you'll like it. Just come on in." Because, see, I had a ticket for $400 in the mail from the state of Florida, the great state of Florida. Yeah. $400. What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. I was returning a rental car. And on the video, Gina had already gone to it. Online, she went to it. And there's a picture of me. You know, you got to stop to turn right on red. Does everybody know you can turn right on red? But did you know you have to stop? I'm just saying. I slowed down. You could see the brake lights. And Gina says, "There you go." I said, "I slowed down." Let's play it again. It's what she says. Let's play it again. I said, "Hun, I slowed down." I mean, we went through that for 10 minutes. We're still going through it. We're still talking about that piece of video. She loves that video. Because somebody called me on it with authority to call me on it. I don't like not being in charge of me. But can I tell you something? When I step into eternity, I'm not looking for the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful partner." I'm not looking for, "Well done, thou good and faithful good guy who got very few tickets." I'm looking to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You see, in order to be a servant, there must be a master. Did you hear that? I want to be good at serving the master, because at some point, that's what he's going to call me home. And he's not, everybody know God is not a liar. He's not a liar. I mean, if if I am a horrible, horrible servant of God, if I truly have rejected the principles of who He is in my life, and I insist on being my own God, small g, He's not going to lie to me on the day of judgment. But I want to tell you, I can be a total mess up inside the name of Jesus. I'm not trying to give room for sin and all kinds of wrong decisions. I'm just saying there's so much more when I am covered by His blood. The blood that Pastor Carl was talking about a while ago. When we are actually covered and forgiven, I am so convinced. Have you ever had a child that just was a pain when they were little? But can you remember how many times you didn't let your spouse or the one that you loved, you didn't let them hear you say, "Isn't he cute? He's a real, you know what?" And I got to put blank there right now because we probably said the word. He's a real... But don't tell him he is so cute. Now you've got to stop. Stop. How many times have you turned around? Because you can't let him see you smile. Because they're disobeying you, but it's so stinking cute. There's just times when you give your life to Jesus Christ, there's grace. Unmerited favor. It's called grace. But I trust that my daddy turns around on occasion. And there's a host of angels that catches the smile of God. You think you started that whole smiling thing when your baby's being a you-know-what? Where do you think we got the... He said he created us in his image, didn't he? What do you think part of the image of God is? It's our response to things. It's a holy response. If he's living in us, it's a holy response. And I just have to believe every once in a while God turns his back, looks at the host of angels and says, "Is he cute? I'll get him just a minute, but he is so stinking cute. I'll get him." Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, you are an authority over us. It's not me that's in authority. Teach us to be submissive to your will and to your good pleasure at all times. And Lord, when we fail, and we will, you'll love us and step back and give that grace period. I ask God that you will so remind us that you are in charge and not me, in Jesus' name.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.